Yes, I lift up my hands to, oh, just tell him how much you love him this morning. Singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you in moments like these. Oh, in moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus in moments like these. Yes, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to you, Lord, and sing.
Happy to be in the house of the Lord. Should be the happiest person on earth to know He, a living God, is here among us, a living Word among us. Amen. We just greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we have a full house this morning. We just ask you to make room and shift around where needed. but we're happy to be in the house of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's sing that once more, and we're going to ask our brother Collie to come for a responsive reading this morning. Oh, He is here. Hallelujah. He is here.
Us all together. We thank Him every time we have opportunity to come together to worship, that He would just bless our hearts and uplift us. We see the world, the condition it's in, and we have relatives that we see that we can't get close to Christ. But let us pray for all of them. I had a nephew that were buried on yesterday, or funeralized in a way, just turned 21, but he had been basically sick all of his life. But he was blessed, you know, to live the life that he did. So just ask you to remember his family. Touch him. God bless you. We're going to read this morning from James 4. Let us pray first. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, you have granted unto us to come together. And Lord, to bless your holy name. Father, we pray that whatever things that we do, Lord, that we keep you first in our lives and in our hearts. Father, we ask you to bless us always, Father, in regards to what other people think about us and criticize us, Lord, that we love them more. Yes. For Jesus Christ, as he hung upon the cross, Lord, he was asking for forgiveness and love unto all those that were punishing him and crucifying him. Lord, so let us be like-minded and in our hearts, Father, the way that he did things. Let us do them in like manner and be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James, the 4th chapter, again, read with verse 1 through 17. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that you war in your members? Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Do ye think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lust to envy?
But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Be afflicted and moan and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
Speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, then judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge.
There is one lawgiver, who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?
Go to now, ye that said to day or tomorrow, we will go unto the city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that.
But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil.
Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen. Such wonderful words of life to live by. Amen. Brother John, would you come this morning and take up our tithes and offering?
Let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to gather in your house, Father. And Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit to come minister to every need this morning, O God. Take our minds off of yesterday, Lord, and off of tomorrow, Lord, that we can enjoy your presence right now. Bless the service, O God. Bless the tithes and the offering, Father. And certainly bless our brother, Lord, as he comes out. May he just be a vessel. Yield it to you, Lord, to speak to us. Commit the rest of the service into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. If you have the spiral songbook near you, let's turn to page 8. Oh, I want to see him. How many want to see the Lord this morning? He's here to reveal himself to you, and whatever need you have, he's here to meet it. Amen. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, born and souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, there lift my voice, cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. Service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me life. Snares may vest my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever be tied. Towards the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fire, with a tender hand outstretched towards the valley low. Guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him. Saving grace, the streets of glory, there we live my Amen. What a day thou be. Hallelujah. What a day this is. Let's change the order of our service as our brother comes this morning. Just pull on that gift. You have a need this morning. I believe the Lord will open up to your understanding, give you faith this morning for anything you have need of. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have a full house. Man, looking good. Everybody doing well. All musicians. We got Aaron and Sarah back from their Western rodeo. You better? You better? Okay. All right. I hope Aaron's been really nice to you. No, he's not. Okay, Brother Aaron, you got some repenting to do, brother. Because you're preaching Wednesday night, so you got to get it all clear, brother. Get it all clear. Y'all can sit up here next to Brother Kylie. He's not contagious, I don't think. Front row, yeah. Okie dokie. Front row's empty, if anybody wants to sit up here. But good to have each and every one of you here. Brother Aaron is absolutely going to preach for us Wednesday night, so be in prayer for him. Also, Brother Luis will be preaching August 11th. I see the top of his head back there, so he's back there. On August the 11th, so we get those two out of the way. Also today, this afternoon, we'll be taking communion and foot washing. And I want to ask you a question. I asked Brother Dale, and he said, whatever you decide, do you want to have Bible study? We need to start it back on Saturday, or do you want to not? Who wants to have Bible study? Well, if one hand went up, we're having Bible study. All right? So we're having Bible study. It'll be 6 to 8 Saturday here at the church, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock Saturday here at the church. Okay, has everybody got that? We usually do it the first Saturday of every month anyway, so this is just continuing on with our Bible study. And I think last time we even had it, we thought about picking a subject. So I think we may pick a subject and announce it Wednesday night. We'll just pray, and then I'll talk to Brother Dale, see if there's anything pressing on his heart, and we will we'll pick a subject and talk about it Saturday. So come and be with us. Also, I guess you've heard camp meeting has been canceled. We need to remember to pray for the churches. Brother Donnie Reagan's church has over 100 people that are out that have the virus, so they had to cancel their services today. But we serve a God that never gets canceled. Amen? Amen. So just remember that, and if you want to start wearing your mask again, if you know, we're going to go round and around with this thing until we really need to start believing, praying that God will be with us and help us. It seems the virus is not doing a whole lot of good. I mean, the shot's not doing a whole lot of good. So if you want to have it, that's fine. You decide. I mean, nobody condemn the ones that do. Nobody condemn the ones that don't. Amen. It's a personal choice. You do what you feel is right. And if you do feel bad, you need to stay home. Right? We've got a couple of nurses here. Ruth's here. She was in right in the thick of it last time it happened, so she can tell you it's real. I mean, we don't need to sweep it under the rug. It is a real thing. But we got to remember too: are we going to keep cowering down to the devil? Or are we going to be Christians and do the right thing? Maybe this is supposed to be our faith builder. Brother Bram said we didn't have faith for a toothache. So maybe we need to start having some faith. Not be stupid, but have faith. And then be led of the Lord what to do. So you just do whatever you feel is led to do. Also, Brother Dale's house phone is out. So if you need to contact him, you can contact his cell phone. Or, is that right, Ma? No? Yeah. It's kind of out too. If you need to get in touch with Brother Dale, call me or Brother Terrence. Or Anna. Okay, call one of the kids. Is that okay? Just call one of us. All right, so let's see. Get down. Good to have some. We have some visitors here with us today. Now, Sister Lois is not a visitor. Sister Lois, you're going to get something today. Because last night you came on my heart, and I said, Lord, let her be at church today. Amen. So you just look. And the brother in the back there. So just greet him in the name of the Lord. Thank you, visitors, for coming. You won't be a visitor this afternoon if you come back. Ever come back again. So you've already filled out your visitor's card. And now you got to fill out your regular card. So we don't do cards around here. So anyway, good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's turn to Hebrews 9. We'll get started. Remember all these announcements. Good to have each and every one of you here today. Full house. I think around the coming of the Lord, I believe the church is going to fill back up. Because my loved ones are coming in. I don't know about yours.
Yes, sir.
But during that jubilee that we've been talking about, we've been praying for our kids. Because we're not going out of here. If we're in our jubilee, we're not going out of here without our kids with us.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But they got to have an experience. They're not going on your tail, your coattail. They're going to go on your experience. I mean, their own experience with God. But you know what? They can have one.
Amen.
If I can have one, I know they can have one. Amen. They can have an experience. It's Frida got her hand up too. I believe that. So let's bow our heads. Just remember these requests and all the ones. Oh, also, I know most of you don't know, but I don't know if Dad and Mom knows it, but Brother David Nunnally's twin brother Daniel passed away. Not of COVID, I don't think, but he passed away. He goes to Brother Donnie's church also. Just remember that family. We knew Brother David really well, and then Brother Daniel went to Brother Donnie's church, and they were twins, and Brother David died several years ago, but he's passed away either last night or sometime. So just remember that family in prayer. I'd like to thank Sister Gwen and Brother Joe and their family for allowing us to do the service. And me and Brother Dale had a really good time there. We talked to a lot of Sister Maggie, and we thank all of you for your prayers and the cards and what you sent for food. It was just an outpouring, which we appreciate. We're humans. We need affection. We need closeness. And if it has to come from a church family, then I think we're the only people who know how to love. We're supposed to, right? We're the only people who know how to love. That love out there past these doors is a lot like the scripture we're talking about, lust. Right? But we know true love, agape love, comes from the bride of Jesus Christ. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now that as we open your word, Lord, that you'll open our hearts to understand it. Lord, you said that for us to, Lord, be an empty vessel, for us to empty ourselves out from the things of the world and the cares of life just for a few moments. And Lord, please speak to the people, Lord, because that's more important than anything, is that the people get something today. And the brothers and sisters, Lord, will become stronger by listening to what you're saying to them, Lord. We pray that you'd heal the sick, Lord. Raise our immune system, Lord, to take care of this virus, Lord. We know that every day that naturally happens in our body, there's something always attacking these human bodies. And you gave us a mechanism inside of our body, Lord, to protect. And you also gave us, Lord, the new birth. Lord, to be able to listen to what you said. You said you would never leave us or forsake us. So in our darkest hour, Lord, we know you're there with us. Lord, be with the ones that are not here, the ones that are sick, the ones that have traveled and come back. Thank you for getting them back safe. Father, we pray that you'd just sanctify us for this journey that we're on. Bless our pastor, Lord, and keep him strong, safe, and bless each one, Lord, that's in this building today, Father. Just give us a special blessing today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So now we've been on eternal redemption. And for those of you that have come in the middle of it, I'm going to try to background real quick. But let's go to Hebrews 9, verse 11. Everything that we as Christians look at is based on redemption. Because we're all lost. We didn't come here not needing redemption. Everybody needed redemption. Even the animals, even the earth needs redemption. All right, it's because of the fall. That's why it's called a fall. Something fell. All right, so when man fell, everything below man fell. And we needed redemption. And then we've been talking about resurrection because if we don't base what we have on somebody resurrecting and bringing us a message and coming inside of us, then we're a man most miserable, the scripture tells us. So we got to depend on redemption, but it's based on resurrection. Amen? And we're going to read that in just a few minutes, and then we'll try to continue on with the two witnesses. So, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place. Look, having obtained eternal redemption. Now remember, he came to this earth not needing redemption.
Amen.
He was God.
Amen.
He didn't need to be saved. He came to save us.
Amen.
But he had a human body that needed to be made eternal.
Yes.
So he acquired eternal redemption for us here when he rose and said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. There's that glorified body that we were talking about the other night. So let's go to Amos 3, verse 7. I know this is familiar, but several of the ministers have been reading it, so I'm going to read it again. Surely the Lord will do, say that word with me, surely the Lord will do
nothing.
So he's not going to do anything. But he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. We needed a prophetic voice in every age. Israel needed it in the Old Testament. We need it in the New Testament. We needed it in every church age. And God sent it to us. Amen. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken, who can but prophesy? All right, let's read Revelations 11:3. Because when this redemption of the Gentiles is over, the redemption of Israel begins. And that's what we were talking about last Sunday or Wednesday night. There's two witnesses that's going to go to Jerusalem and they're going to preach this same message of redemption and resurrection to 144,000 that's going to accept it. So Revelations 11:3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days, which is 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And read one more before we sit down. Revelations 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. Now there's seven stars, which is in whose hand? God's hand. Not in man's hand. It's in God's hand. So there's seven stars, and then we read you where the definition of star is what? A messenger from God. Not just a messenger from God. All right, so a messenger from God came seven times in seven church ages, because look, the seven stars, I'm reading Bible, I'm not quoting from a man. I'm quoting from Jesus Christ. All right? The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now, it wasn't seven church buildings set in the world. Churches are people. Churches are not buildings. Churches are people. Then we know that the prophet of God come in the end time, and he told us the difference between a church and a bride. And maybe we'll get to that this afternoon, where you got the church and then you got the bride. All right? And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing. For the reading the word. For those of you that are coming in, if y'all want to, you got to skeet over just a little bit and let, unless Sterling needs to sit on the front row. He's ducked down in the back. Good to have him and Sister Callie with us today. Amen. Pray for them. They finna get married. Whew. That's exciting, man. That's exciting. All right. So now we know the seven stars are the angels. So God sent us seven messengers, or seven messengers from God, to seven different church ages, seven different dispensations, according to the Bible, So like I said before, we have contention maybe in the world that thinks that, well, you know, God didn't send William Branham. He's wrong and he's this and he's that and whatever they want to say, that's fine with me because it doesn't bother me at all. My resolve is that God had to send me one of those stars because we're in the last church age. So he had to send me a star. Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So if William Branham is not him, I can hold God to his word. And say, if you didn't send me, if it wasn't him, you gotta send me somebody. Because you said you would.
Right.
One of the seven stars. Amen? Matthew 17, verse 10, let's go there. And after the disciples, it's kind of neat to have to move people over and sit down. And his disciples ask him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias or Elijah must first come? Listen, the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament was what? Malachi.
Right.
There is no New Testament to the Jews. They don't believe in the New Testament because they'd have to believe in Jesus Christ. So they believe the Old Testament prophets, which was, which was the last one was Malachi. And Malachi says, we'll read it in a second, but Jesus answered and said, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things.
Yeah.
Not bring us something new. Restore all things back to where it was before.
Right.
So now let's read Malachi 4. Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. You say, well, that was John the Baptist. It wasn't the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He was introducing the Messiah.
Yes.
He was an introducer. He was the one standing between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
That's right.
And we know he turned the heart. Now look, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. John stood and was preaching to those old rabbis, those old Orthodox Jews, those old priests in the Old Testament that did their did their one, two, three, go to the temple, don't do anything on Saturday, do this, don't do that, don't touch the women, don't look at this, don't do that. You understand? So John was introducing the Messiah to them. That, hey, look, this is the Messiah. This is the one that's going to take you, not destroy the law, but make sure that you can live it. And live it right, because when the lawgiver came, he looked right down in their soul and he said, you're not living it anyway. You love the prophets and you're the one who put them in the tomb. Isaiah, I've been reading in Isaiah this week and it's a commentary of the whole Bible, but you think about Isaiah, a young man, they tore him into pieces, cut him up and threw him away. Just like he was nothing because of what he said. He was a young man trying to do what God said, and who did it? It wasn't the heathens. People of Israel got mad at what he said. Have you ever heard that before? And left the church. Oh, and it got mad and they killed him in the Old Testament. Now people just leave and kill you with their influence. So anyway, so he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. So here stands John the Baptist. He's taking the Old Testament. And he's introducing that Old Testament, the old, into the New Testament. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Then what? John leaves. Then, the very one that John introduced in Matthew 17 verse 10 said, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Now John the Baptist didn't restore all things. This Malachi 4 messenger is supposed to restore all things. So he wasn't talking about John the Baptist. He was talking about the Elijah to come. So there's an Elijah to come. So we have to contend he's either already come and give us a message or he's going to come in somebody else. But we need that person here.
Right.
To what? Tie up the loose ends.
Right.
I mean, my heavens, look at all the denominations that we have in the world with all the different ideas. There's thousands of different ideas.
Amen.
God's not that confused. He gave us one Bible.
Right.
He sent us one messenger in the end time. And then what did that messenger do? He didn't introduce the world to himself. He did just like John, the character of Elijah. He introduced us to Christ. Because remember, back in these church ages, man took a hold of some of this. Now, not the seven stars. That was a message for their day. But men got involved in it with men's ideas. And as men's ideas got involved, denominations became up. Remember, when Peter and James and John and all them when Paul traveled to Ephesus and Smyrna, he didn't pass a Baptist church and a Methodist church and a Pentecostal church and a Presbyterian church. They weren't there. Now, they were little ideas and little sayings maybe that were coming up. But most of it, what Paul was doing was he was giving them what? The foundation of the gospel. And so this messenger of Malachi 4 is going to turn, read the rest of that, and the heart of the children to the fathers. So anyway, in other words, we were a bunch of babbling baby children, Pentecostal babies, that just thought everything, as long as you spoke in tongues, it didn't make no difference. Long as you didn't have to have a preacher, you could just sing. You didn't have to have a preacher, you could just somebody stand up by inspiration. No, it took an Elijah to come in the end time and say, look, you need to have a church service. You need to have offering taken up, special songs, you need to have Bible reading, you need to have a couple of songs, and bring the preacher out. And let one preacher preach. Not a bunch of people. So see, that's him restoring, taking the children. What does children need? Children need guidance. Without guidance, oh my goodness. Without guidance, what would we be? We'd be a bunch of children running around, somebody jumping up, speaking in tongues, this one jumping up, say, I got a sermon today. Women and men both. It happens in other denominations. But they're wrong. According to the Bible, that's wrong. So what had to come and tell us? This Malachi 4 that turned the hearts of the children, us a bunch of crying babies, back to what? The faith of the fathers, where there was no denomination, where you didn't believe eternal hell, where you didn't believe Father, Son, Holy Ghost was a baptism. That's what they believe out there. The whole world's deceived by that. Because it's not in the Bible. You say, oh yeah, that Father, Son, Holy. Yeah, it is in the Bible, but listen, Father's not a name. Son's not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. I think the Bible told us that all the family in heaven was named what? Jesus Christ. And he said, I come in my Father's name. Father's not a name. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only name God ever had. And why shouldn't we baptize in that to connect us to him instead of baptizing the way the world tells you to baptize? And the way the world tells you that hell is eternal. If hell's eternal, then there's eternal people down there. And where there's eternal people, that's where God is. Because Satan's not eternal. So whatever the place was created for the devil and his angel, it's going to pass away. But now how many people in denominations today will actually fight you physically? Why? Because you're tearing down their foundation. You're tearing down their doctrine that man has given them. God has not given them that doctrine. All right? There is not three gods. Behold, Israel, thy Lord, thy God is one. And we believe in one true and living God. Amen? So now, let's look at the chart. We've been on the, this has been 28 sermons on the eternal plan of redemption. So, Paul, we're slow down here, okay? You people in Minnesota talk faster than we do. Of course, I talk pretty fast for being an old Southern boy. There we go. All right, can you, for us older ones, can you make it a little bit bigger? So we've went through all this. Yeah, right. Hallelujah. See, you said hallelujah. So we're here where Christ went to hell, preached to the sinners that was already dead. That's good. We're good. He was here for 30 or 40 days. Then he ascended. All right. This is Bible. All right. He ascended. Acts 1, 3, verse through 11. And then he said, tarry until you be endued with power from on high, which is Acts 2, verse 1. So God came back now as the Son of God, the new birth, to enter into you. Now, he would walk with you as the Son of Man. All right? And I'm sorry, folks, this is for the ones that hadn't been here, so they can get caught up. I want them to see what's going on. So, you know, just don't take a nap. But just hit pause. Okay. So 10 days later in Acts 2 verse 1, he said, you will be endued with power from on high. He said, I'll send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, in my name. So yeah, the Holy Ghost has got a name. It's Lord Jesus Christ. But once it enters into you, it's yours. And you become Mrs. Lord Jesus Christ. You become God made flesh in another form called a bride or a son and daughter of God. Has everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, so that's what happened. We were promised that the new birth would come. Then John goes on the Isle of Patmos in AD 96, and God shows him a Gentile church age. Because remember, we studied this before. Jesus went to who first? He went to the Jews.
Yes.
He came to his own, John 1. He came to his own, and his own received him not. In other words, they rejected him. They kicked him out. All right? But as many that would receive, he gave power to be sons and daughters of God. So that's the Gentiles. And Jesus met many Gentiles. There's many Gentiles in the Old Testament. Rahab. Different ones that you see there. Ruth. Just for two for an example. That's the type of me and you. That's the type of being out in the world. And then we accept God's what? Redemptive plan. Because Ruth accepted Boaz's redemptive plan. Amen. But you had Naomi there, which Naomi was the tie to Boaz. Ruth was not. Ruth was the tie that come together, but Naomi was the Jew, right? And she had the near kinsman. Ruth did not. But Ruth accepted Naomi being the daughter-in-law. She accepted, and then what did her mother-in-law do? Guided her to Boaz.
Amen.
Guided her to Boaz. Because Naomi, see, couldn't have Boaz. But Ruth could if she was accepted by Christ. I mean Boaz. Amen? She said, go do this. Well, what's the Old Testament? Go do this. Don't do that. Go into his field. Stay there. Go lay down at his feet. Who was telling her this? Naomi,
amen.
The old Jewish lady, the Old Testament,
yes,
was telling Ruth, the New Testament girl,
amen,
the Moabitess, the outscour of the earth, because Moabites came from Lot and his two daughters having incest. So, I mean, Brother Brown said that was a hair and a biscuit. All right. So it was kind of a gaggy thing he said. But you know what? I don't think it bothered Boaz. Because he wasn't looking at Naomi. He was looking at Ruth. He knew, though, that to get to Ruth, he'd have to go through Naomi. To get to the bride, he'd have to go through that Old Testament. Because they rejected him in the Old Testament as bride, as husband. But he knew that somebody would accept him. In the church ages then, we see, and then we look in Daniel 70 weeks, we may look a little bit later on, that interjected into this great gospel, because look, just hang on for a minute. Jew, Gentile. Gentile 2,000 years, then back to Jew. Then the millennium is not to us, it's to the Jews. We're there on a honeymoon. Ruth and Boaz went on a honeymoon. Amen? But he's going to be there in the millennium doing what? Ruling the 12 tribes of Israel. We're not going to be there being ruled. No, we'll rule and reign on the earth for that 1,000 years. Brother Brown said, just be a honeymoon. We'll just be there. Be able to travel like a thought. If you want to go to Mars, just hang on a little while. You don't have to pay $20 million or whatever it is to go to the moon now with them bunch of billionaires. You know what? They ain't even going to be around. In the millennium, they won't be no billionaires.
Nope,
we'll all be the same. We'll own the world.
Right.
And all the gold and everything else. So what do you wait? I mean, what? You know, it's okay. We're all right. We're supposedly the outscour of the earth because, you know, Gentiles, even Jesus called us dogs.
Yes.
Because he was showing that that nation was an outscour. That nation didn't, see, they had gods.
Yes.
They didn't have a god. Israel had a God, but they turned him down. Once they turned him down, he goes to the Gentile, and once he reveals himself through Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columbus, Luther, Wesley, and Brother Branham, then he knows that there's a bride that's going to become a wife, because in Revelation 19 we see that the wife has made herself ready. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Amen. So anyway, according to Revelations 1, 2, and 3, there is a church age that is bride. Now, there are Jews sprinkled in there, okay? The 120 in the upper room, they were all Jews. But what did Paul and Peter do? Finally, they said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, because the Jews were just, that was the persecution. They weren't persecuted by the Gentiles. The Gentiles opened their arms up and said, hey, come on in. This is wonderful. We've never heard this before. We've had Diana. We've had all these gods that don't do us any good. They just stand there and stare at us. But you got a living God. And we want that. And the Jews are going, he wasn't God. We're waiting on our Messiah. Right? So is the church world done today. We're the only people that know this story. How it begins and how it ends. Because we're a bride. My bride knows a lot more about me than all of you know about me. Bless her heart, y'all need to pray for her. Should anyway. Not saying anything else. So we got a bride, and then down through these church ages, they've lived, took a message, passed away, and God would send another messenger. They would live that message. They would build, not churches, buildings, but they would build a bride body. They had their message for the day, and then they would pass away, and as they were passing away, a new one would raise up. Because a messenger comes at the end of the age. So the messenger would come. Paul came at the end of Pentecost to bring his message. Then at the ending of Paul's message, he's already gone. He's already told them grievous wolves are coming. They're going to destroy my message. They're going to tear me up. But Irenaeus picks up the thought of God, and he brings a message to his people. And then on down through till we get to the end time. And God promised us a seventh star. Whether you believe it was William Branham or not, I do. I rest my soul on that because he took me to God. He took me out of that confusion that was called the world. That this one believed this, and this one believed that, and this one believed this. Amen. To the truth. Amen. Now, when somebody brings you to the truth, he's a true messenger from God. How do you, it's not his life, it's not all the different things, it's what he done. He brought you to Christ. Yes. Alright, and he brought me to Christ. I don't care if he was hunting out there in January, February, March, April, or the cloud. To me, that doesn't matter. But to the born again, it's a vindication that he came. Because he didn't put Brother Branham's head in there. Christ's head came into that cloud. All right? And he already told us in right here in Acts 1 verse 3, them two angels said, hey, you saw him go up in a cloud? You're going to see him come back in a cloud. But see, then all the denominational world, they're looking. I was reading a commentary the other day, and we'll get into that, not today, but later on. I mean, they're pushing everything, as Brother Mike Ulte was talking about. Everything does start with a hope. Right? Everything starts with a hope. But you can't hope you got eternal life. I hope when I get, see, that's another fallacy in the denominational world, is that you got to go to the white throne judgment. They believe, according to what I read yesterday, that you've got to go to the white throne judgment, stand before the great white throne judgment, and see if you got eternal life. See if you got? God's not that way, folks. If you're born again, it's settled. You don't go to the white throne judgment. You do have a judgment of the things you've done, maybe against a brother or against a sister that you don't make right here, or something you did in your life that you didn't make right. Because some sins go before, some go after. All right, Brother Dale's has already preached on that. So we don't have to. Like I said before, one of the greatest revelations you'll ever have is that if you're the bride of Jesus Christ, yeah, you may have a little minor tribulation, but I'm not talking about the great tribulation. You won't ever go through the great tribulation, and you'll never have to stand before the white throne judgment. See, all denominations, see, they're not even going to come up. They're going to have to stay dead till I hope I get it. You better know you got it. Amen. And when you know you got it, it puts you in the millennium. You don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Why worry about two prophets? They're not to you. We've already had the one we need. We all right? Not going to get into my notes, so we'll just stay right here. Is that all right? I always wondered why Brother Dale did that. Now I know. when you get to talking about something and something gives you in a line, stay in it. We'll get back to it. So we're looking, like I said before, and we'll go back and read, because I'm getting ahead of myself, but while we got the chart up, that there's a sixth dimension where the born-again believers go if they die. So, and born-again believers don't die. They just go to sleep and they move into another dimension. The body stays here because it was born in sin, shaping in iniquity. All right? It hasn't been changed yet. And like I said before, we'll read it in a little while. This is corruptible, but we're going to be raised incorruptible. So that's another fallacy that they tell you in the denominational world. And half the people in the message, that this body's worthless. We're just going to get a brand new one. No, it's going to be this one made brand new. Amen. Amen. Because what? Jesus is an empty tomb. Yes. The empty tomb shows that there was somebody mortal and now they're immortal.
Right.
They were corruptible and now they're made incorruptible. So there won't be any missing pieces.
Right.
I like what a guy said. I've been reading some books Brother Mike Olte gave me. They're really nice and they're not message believers. But anyway, but how could God create you from a germ, from a little sperm and an egg, give you life, let you go through life, accept his life, get born again, and then he can't find you at the end time? If you have to pass away. If he made you, he can find you. And he will find you. He promised he would. It doesn't matter if you go down the depth of the sea. It doesn't matter what they do with you.
That's right.
God's got you right here.
Right.
Even your body. Because
yes.
He allowed your body to come.
Right.
How do you allow? What is this? This is all the design of God.
Yes.
That's right, brother.
This is the design of God that you got here.
Amen.
And God gave you a soul. And then by the new birth, he transformed. He didn't take that soul out and put another one in. No, he burnt that one you got out. Burnt the sin out of it, just like he's going to do right here in the millennium. He's going to burn it off, not destroy it. And then you're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Not a new earth where you got to go get on another one. No, we're going to, I thought the Bible said we're going to live right here. Didn't John say he saw the new city in Revelation 20 coming down? Where was John standing? On earth. He saw the city come down. And you know what, folks? We got a long time. We're looking for the future home, but you know what? That thing's way over here. We still got 1,000 years. That's not our temple. That's not our place to live. That's our honeymoon. Usually you don't live where you have your honeymoon. I said usually. You go somewhere on a honeymoon, then you come back to your regular home. All right, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to go on a honeymoon. Then God's going to burn this thing off. We're going to come right back down here on this earth. And you know what? Because this earth has been changed. Amen? All right, so now I'll get to my quotes in just a second, or my scriptures, but the sixth dimension, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we're going to look at it. That's the first resurrection. That's all these saints that have died and went on, because everybody's not going to resurrect in the first resurrection. Remember, this is a secret catching away, thief in the night. The world's not going to know. The devil's not going to have a clue. Because he'll have no part in the first resurrection. Only the born again people. So he's been revealed through the church age, and we'll read it in just a second. As we said, the Son of God. See, the physical body of God did not come back on the day of Pentecost. Because he wanted a spiritual body to build on the earth. Which is me and you. And he can't have two bodies on earth at the same time. He's actually in another dimension, dimension number 7. He's in the 7th dimension, controlling everything, but he's got his immortal body. The Bible tells us. Life and immortality has been brought to life through the gospel, and there's only one king potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that has reached immortality.
Amen.
He's standing in the 7th dimension. That's why Brother Branham couldn't see him.
Amen.
That was a position that God had come to, that he came and got a body that wasn't eternal to begin with, because yours isn't either.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. He lived a life just like you live, but when he resurrected in a glorified body because he's God, and he had to be the first fruits, the one to do that. So he's in the seventh dimension, and Brother Branham goes into the sixth dimension, but his old body's still laying on the bed. For those of you that know it or don't know it, we had a prophet coming in time, and he went in another dimension. All right? So he's looking back here. So that body is what? Mortal. He was in a theophany in the sixth dimension looking at the ones that had died and went on. He said, where's Jesus? What did the angel say? He's higher. Higher. Seventh dimension. All right, so he's in the seventh dimension, standing there, waiting on his bride body to develop on earth. And as he waits on the bride body to develop on earth, he has to bring the head. The head's where the controlling factor is. Right? He brings the headship back to the church, which the denominations, they reject headship because they don't want to have anything to do with the truth. Sorry. I drove by the old church a few minutes ago. There stood two guys outside with looked like gym shorts on. In church. Going to church. So, I mean, it's just, to them, it's just like you go to, it's like Brother Brown said, you go to a lodge. You go and meet and greet and hello, boy, it's good to see you. And, anyway, there's got to be some holiness involved. Right. All right, there's got to be some sacrifice involved in this that we see that God gave us what? He restored us back. They wouldn't have done that in the first church age. Paul would have seen it about two times and he would have cut their head off. Not literally, but you understand what I'm saying. So 1 Thessalonians, we're going to read that in just a minute. So you're going to see that the first resurrection brings the sixth dimension into here. You and I, down through the church ages, we have been motivated, as a prophet said, as the Son of God revelation, which is God in the form of the Holy Ghost in the group of people called the bride.
Amen.
All right, everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
A group of people called the bride. That's the ones that have it, not just had a good thought. Not just we even went through justification and sanctification, because we'll read it in just a little while about the foolish virgin. They were foolish because they never got oil. Oil is the Holy Ghost. You get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're a bride. If you don't, you're foolish. That's just cut and dry. There's no in between. Amen? Either you're married or you're not. So if you're married to Christ, you're either married to Christ or the devil, one of the two. Sorry. You decide. So the bride, the body of Jesus is on the earth as the bride. And the Son of God is not just anointing you, but it's helping you through your life. It's not just something that comes on you and then comes off of you. No, it's what? Something that stays there. It stays with you. Just like it did on the River Jordan, brother, when you look at John looked and saw the Spirit descending like a dove and remaining. Remaining on that person. All right? It remains on you, and actually he said, I'll be with you even in you to the end of the age. So it's not that just God, see, because God can anoint you, the devil can anoint you, but only God can save you.
Yes.
Amen. Satan can't save you. He can make you feel good. He can make you feel happy. He can fill the church full. But unless you got the new birth, you'll just wander right back out yonder. Because there's nothing to hold you. We were talking about at the youth day, somebody asked me, well, what is the new birth? Well, to me, the new birth in a real simple form that'll really help you. When you were born, you're a ship. And you got sails. And that sail turns as the wind turns. There's no rudder down underneath. How can you control that boat? You can't. Because the wind's going to blow that way, Brother John, and you're going to do whatever you try to do, it's still going to go that way. It's going to blow that way. But if you'll put, I don't care, the ship can be as big as this building. If you can put a little 3-foot rudder, you know what I'm talking about? It goes under the bottom of the ship. You can't be seen.
That's right.
But it's going to run your boat. But you put that rudder down there and the wind starts blowing that way, but you want to go that way, what you do? You turn that rudder. Now it may fight, and what they call in airplanes, they call it like, crabbing, because you go sideways.
Yep.
But still, once you got that rudder turned, eventually when the winds of war and the winds of the devil quit blowing, you're going to go the way you want to go. Just because that one little rudder, that's the Holy Ghost. He, look, he didn't change the ship. He didn't change the sail. He just gave you a spiritual rudder. That when you get into something, that thing will turn you. Brother Branham, what did he tell us? He said the most important person on the ship, not the captain. He's that guy down in the bottom that's throwing the coal in. They're saying, turn to the left. And he goes, and what turns the rudder? Amen? That's the important person. And you know what? It's underwater. You can't see it. But it manifests itself by where it goes. Same way with a Christian. That was fresh, Brother John. I didn't really think of that. But okay. But you say, well, what is it? It is the greatest thing ever happened to you, but it's just a 3-foot paddle underneath the water that turns you the way you need to go because you never had a spiritual rudder because you did the things of the world. Wind blow that way. I don't care if you fought a little bit. It's going to go, your ship's going to go that way. But you put that rudder in there. Same thing with an airplane. You put your flaps up and down. You'll get to go where you need to go. That's the new birth. You ask God to give you the new birth. And when you start looking at the things you used to do, and you don't do them no more, you're not even desiring to do them anymore. And believe me, Satan's going to put them right there beside you. But when you go, nope, there's a higher calling here, buddy. You used to play, now you can't play no more. You can play. You can play all you want to. The wind's going to blow. Go out in the sea. The wind's going to blow. But you know what? You got that rudder down there that says, no, I'm going in that direction. And that's what's going to take us up. Amen. So let's read now what the prophet of God said. Because see, that's our spiritual rudder down through the church ages, which has been the Son of God, the Spirit of God inside of you, the new birth, to control you.
Yes.
According to the Word of God, not according to the world. All right? Everybody got that? So that's what God gives us. But now in the end time, we are required a little bit different because we come to the Laodicean church age and we've given some extra scriptures because without me and you, because you got 7 church ages. And look, that's it. That's it. There's no more. There's no more big prophet to come. You and all are supposed to be prophetic people. You're right, Charlotte. It is hot up here now with all these people up here. Y'all need to stop breathing for a little while, okay? Brother Collie, no, don't do that. It's 70 degrees, and that's about all it's doing, but it's okay. We're trying to get away from a hotter place. Amen. Amen? You don't worry about that. But we see there's no other church ages, because I believe we're with the 7 stars in the 7 churches, we're number 7. So God has already, I believe, sent us a messenger.
Yes. That's right.
Already sent it to us.
Yes.
By the Holy Ghost. Because look, he'll do nothing.
Amen.
Amos says, I'll do nothing unless I reveal it to a prophet first.
Right.
Because remember, a prophet does 2 things when he hits the earth. A prophet either gives you judgment or grace.
Right.
You reject that message, it gives you judgment. You accept that message, it gives you grace. And puts you in the body of Christ. And grace is what's going to take you in a rapture.
Amen.
All right? Grace is what brought... Think of it, people. Go out in the world. Well, don't go out in the world. But when you go out into the world, you look around and you see people. You see people that's trying real hard. You see people that ain't trying at all. But they're trying the wrong thing. They're wanting to be a good person. They're wanting to be this. They're wanting a good James Dobson preacher. They want some, you know, tell me how to. And it is, listen, it is good to have those things to tell you how to live life. All right? Do the right thing. Dave Ramsey, different people like that. It is good to read those things, but that's not going to save you. But once you put the two together, Brother Mike Oakley, we were talking the other day. He gave me a couple of books to read, and one of them was by Scofield. But see, if you take Scofield, you got to remember Scofield, Larkin, Eurysmith, different ones. They had the new birth, I believe, for their time because God did use them. But they weren't vindicated prophets. But you take and God put a vindicated prophet on the earth. He reads their writings. Because if God gave them if God gave these people these writings and they were true, then when he sent a prophet, now then you take away that Scofield was Trinitarian, that this one was Trinitarian, that this one believed this, and then God sent a prophet to restore everything back. And now in the message they're saying, well, Brother Branham wasn't nothing, he would just use their message. Well, I'd like to ask them, have they ever preached something out of the New Testament? Then they're using Paul's message. Grief. You see how frivolous people try to grab straws. You make somebody mad. See, that's what a good boxer will make the next boxer mad. Because he forgets all of his training. And he just wants to beat you up. And you just sit there and go, all right, buddy, this is where I wanted you. So he starts flailing and you just go pop, pop. That's the way it is with the devil. You make him mad, boy, he just starts sending everything. That's all right. If you got that rudder, where are you going to be? You're not going to be in shifting sand. You're not going to be out in the ocean of life not knowing where to go. Amen? So God sent us a message in the end time to restore back the faith of the fathers and to reveal the book. See, the book, the reason Clarence Larkin, the reason Scofield, the reason Ira Smith, the reason Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, they weren't operating under an open book. Now, for you that don't understand what I'm talking about, when you shut a book, I shut my book, a book that I'm reading, and I hand it to Brother Darty. I say, all right, Brother Darty, here's the book. 3 weeks later, I go, oh, Brother Darty, you read that book? No, but I know what it says. Have you even opened it? No, but I know what it says. Well, tell me the story behind it. It can't tell you. You got to open the book.
Right.
And you got to read what's inside.
Yes.
But now once I give it to Brother Darty, which I know he would, I say, look, Brother Darty, it's a good book to read. He'll open that book, he'll read it, and he'll come back. He says, oh, Brother Wade, page 34 right there. That's something good right there, page 45. See, I know he's read the book. So now, obviously, Scofield and those worked under a closed book because they had Trinitarian ideas. They had all these denominational ideas that were wrong. But God winked at their ignorance during that day because he did, had to with Luther because Luther was Trinitarian. But Luther had a message, the just shall live by faith. That was his message to the people.
Amen.
Amen? But now you and I can't live under that because remember, God keeps moving. He moves further and further and further. If you stay right here, then you have left God. And he's moving on, so he's going to close your book. The part that you had, and he's going to come over here, and now you and I, we are living under when the seven seals were opened, according to Revelation 10:7 or 10:1, the mighty angel comes to the earth with what? An open book. Now, buddy, when you come with an open book, everything's made known. So all the wrongs will be made right when the book is open. Everybody got that? We live under now an open book. Listen, you can close it back if you want to. Your choice. But if you keep that book open, because remember, John didn't need a closed book. John needed an open book. Amen? John needed an open book, and that's what we have now. We have an open book. Listen, the book got closed down in the church ages. What did the prophet of God tell us? He said, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They put him back on the cross. Are we doing the same thing? I want to ask you that question. Because he indicted a whole generation for doing the wrong thing when Christ was standing there trying to reveal himself to the people. Same way with you and I. All right? So now let's read real quick. Now he's a son of God, which is God in spirit form, revealing himself to the church ages. But listen, not fully revealing because look, the son of man is Jesus Christ. We're going to get into that maybe later on, not when we get finished with this series. The Son of Man was God in human flesh.
Yes.
Total God.
Yes.
You and I are apart.
Yes.
Everybody got that?
Right.
But in him dwelt the what? Fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Right.
You and I have a part of that. So we're not, because remember, we were sex born.
Right.
He was virgin born. biggest separation there is. That just did away with all of us.
Right?
Right? He was virgin born and he was the Son of God. He was before all things. He knew all things. Why? Because he was back over here watching all this take place. But when he came down into this man right here named Jesus Christ, you know, God had to back up from the all-knowing. And we'll get into it when we talk about the Son of Man. He was the all-knowing God. Created all things. Knew all things. He had to learn how to eat. He had to learn how to move his fingers. He cried. He had to have his diaper changed. He couldn't do it himself. But you know what he done it for? He done it for me and you. He did not do it for himself. He did it for me and you. He became a baby. The Bible says he learned by the things he suffered. And being made perfect. Now listen, in soul he was perfect because he was Almighty God. But when he come down in that human body, that's where the eternal redemption part comes from. You and I are heading toward that because, listen, if you're born again, your soul's already redeemed. All down through the church ages, by the revelation of the Son of God, your inside you is a theophany, that real you that makes you move, and you take that out today and then we do a lot of funerals. The firing mechanism, that's what you are, that's the soul of you. Makes you do this, makes you listen, make you think what's going on and wish I hurry up. So, but not the Holy Ghost won't do that. But that was the revelation of the Son of God in the church ages. Was a part of God would come and give a message. A part of God would come and give a message. A part of God would come and give a message. But then he said that according to Luke 17:30. But let's read right here real quick. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's read quote number one. We got a few. All right, let's read quote number one. Take the chart off, please. Feast of the Trumpets. Now, he's been revealed through the church ages. Now, watch through the church ages as Son of God. God being a spirit, the Holy Spirit, he revealed himself in the church ages as in the congregation as the Holy Spirit among the people. Now, but according to Luke 17, let's go to Luke 17, verse 24. Let's try to keep this in the Bible. I want you to read this with me real quick. And then we'll probably stop right here. Now, for there's the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven, shineth into the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Everybody got that? Be in his day. But first must he suffer many things now and be rejected of this generation. Luke has put him in the physical form. Jesus standing on earth. Everybody got that? Read that. So shall also the Son of Man be in his day. That was what? 2,000 years ago in AD 30 when Jesus was standing on earth preaching this message. Everybody got that? But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. So listen, if he suffers and he's rejected and he's here today, guess what? You're going to suffer. I like what Brother Richard Hyatt was preaching Sunday. He was talking about, you know, you get a revelation and you have a cycle that you get a revelation, you're happy, and then all of a sudden here comes trouble. Right? And then it's the same thing over again. You know, everything's good, everything's wonderful, we do everything right, and then all of a sudden here comes trouble. But that's just a cycle of being a, look, think of Paul. I've been reading the writings of Paul from another commentator, and man, he spent half his life in prison almost. He was beat ever how many times and almost dead. They drug him out of the street, one time thought he was dead. Have you ever been through that before? Then you ain't been persecuted. So don't worry about the little paper cuts that you get. I told Ruth, I said, Ruth, I got a paper cut. I need to leave. She wasn't very sympathetic. But now we think the trials it gets us. You go back and look at what happened to those Christians that just standing up and saying, I'm a Christian in the street. You got your head cut off. Or you got fed to lions, and that was a worse death because it took a while before they got you eat up. So listen, the little persecutions that we suffer, nothing compared, the Bible said, to the glory that we're going to receive. And you've never been put on a cross either and beat like a piece of hamburger meat, like this man was. All right. And as it was in the days of Noah, now look, as it was in the days of Noah, right before a destruction. Everybody got that? Look when the Son of Man shows up, right before a destruction, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, here we go again, until the day that Noah entered in the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. Now here we go, right before another destruction. Before Sodom and Gomorrah is being destroyed, we see somebody come on the scene. You ever thought about that? That's why the Son of Man, he shows up right before a destruction. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Everybody in this church did have one of those last week. Brother Gary built it. I planted some good Christmas lima beans. So anyway, so look, this is then it's vindicating showing our day. But in the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. All right? So now that's not talking about Jesus' time. It showed his time before that. This is talking about us before a destruction comes. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the what? Great and dreadful day of the Lord. Because listen, we might have minor tribulation, but the great tribulation is the wrath of God poured out upon a godless people. You'll never see that if you're born again. All right? So we know that the Son of Man is to be revealed in the end time before a destruction. So God's going to send us, look at quote number two. It says, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom. Now this was Jesus talking. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Look at that angel down there to the church elect, what he did. Look at Jesus, what he done in his generation. Look down here at this generation, what he's doing now. They'll receive a sign, but they won't believe it. The whole world saw great signs and miracles and wonders that the prophet did, always seven times around the world. But when he started preaching his message, they rejected him. Forgot what he did before, same way with Jesus. They forgot the 5,000 he fed. They forgot the healing that he did. And they hung him on a cross. But now we know that William Branham was not the Son of Man, because the requirement of the Son of Man is you be born with no sex. So that just discludes all of us except one guy. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? But the resurrection will be the sign. Here we go again. Like I said, this whole, everything's based on resurrection. Because you're going to have, you had a resurrection in the Old Testament. You had Jesus, the Old Testament saints, right? Then we're looking for this resurrection to come. Then we're looking for a resurrection of the Jews. Then we're looking at a general resurrection. So it's all based on resurrection. What you do here basis which resurrection you make it to. See, you can't do like I was saying before, some of the commentaries I'm reading, you know, you well, when I get to the great white throne, I'm going to plead my case. Oh, Lord. If I make it there, I don't have a case. I don't have a case. If I have to go to the white throne judgment, I have no case. God took my case. That don't make you happy? God took my case. And he destroyed it. He even took the book and thrown it out the window. And it hit in the sea somewhere. The sea of God's forgetfulness never to be remembered again. But the resurrection will be the sign. And the resurrection, the sign is given to the church in this last day. What did I say before? No man in the history of time except Jesus Christ himself stood in front of a congregation and said, you were at the doctor yesterday. You had on a blue dress with a yellow ribbon in your hair. And the doctor told you this, and the doctor said this. He said, your house number is 242 William Street, and your name is Wade Dale. Nobody has ever done that before. In that grand of form where everybody heard it. Now, it may have been done in Paul's age, it may have been done in Irenaeus's, but it never was done on a public stage to where God is going to prove that he's opened the book. And one man, a prophet, is going to release that power to the bride. Now listen, we're not going to ever see it like that in one man. But Jesus said, greater works will you do. because it'll be in a group of people.
Yes.
How many of you have seen healings? Amen. How many of you prayed for the sick? How many of you have saw mighty miracles and mighty... See, yes. It's not just one person anymore.
Right.
But he had to take that one man standing there saying, it's not me, it's him.
Yes. That's right.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost. Come down and discern those people's thoughts. And it never was wrong one time. And look, don't base your salvation on that though. You'd better never base your salvation on, I heard a prophet say. No. But remember that spiritual rudder inside. If you don't have it, one little thing pops up. Like they're saying now, he did this, he did that, he was wrong here, he was wrong there. Your ship is going to go shipwreck. But if you got that spiritual rudder, you'll turn against that wind and you'll make sure you go north.
Right.
Amen. Up.
Yes.
Don't worry about all that stuff. But the angel of the Holy Spirit in the meetings showing the same thing, doing the same thing across the nation, proving that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the generation that will receive it, which I contend that's this generation we're looking at right now.
Right.
And that was a healing campaign. But I'm looking for a healing of the soul, but then we're going to look for... Before the culmination of everything, the bride has got to come to a place just like Jesus was standing on earth. You said you can't do it. Have you ever read John 17? John 17 says, Father, I pray for them.
Yeah.
Not to take you out of the world, but that you'll stay in the world. But he said, I pray, Father, that they be one as you and I are one. So how many ones were they?
Right.
Jesus and God was one person.
Right.
And he prayed that we would be the same way.
That's right.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And you know what? That's kind of hard for a human to figure out. But I didn't say it. God did.
Amen.
So he's going to have to make a way for me to get it there.
Right.
And I believe he has. He sent us the word of God. He sent us a prophet in the end time to open the book so that we can truly read the Bible with eyes of understanding, not eyes of this may be right and this may be wrong, and I'll take what Paul says or not what Peter says. I'll take what Jesus says over what Peter says. The whole problem with that is, it's why would Jesus stand up one day and said, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? But several weeks prior, he said, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. So Jesus goes away and comes back on the day of Pentecost. He enters into Peter and changes his mind. God don't change his mind. Through Peter, who had the keys, he said, repent. Every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the name of God for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know what? Jesus wasn't in another dimension going, Peter, no. He was going, perfect. That's exactly what I was saying. That's exactly what I wanted you to get to the people. Because he heard that key. And you know what? Jesus was in heaven. And he said, I told you, if you unlocked it down here, I'll unlock it up there. He said, click. I just unlocked it for you, Peter. And no man can shut that key. I don't care what denomination, they can't shut that key. Think about that. Because you have Peter, that people say, well, Peter was saying this in Acts and Jesus was saying. Is the Bible that confused?
No,
Jesus was just conveying through a person that had the key. Peter had the key. He'd already given it to him. So anyway. All right, let's go right here and then we'll stop. So everything's based on resurrection. Resurrection is a state of having passed completely through death and having risen from death. To be in resurrection is different than to be alive. We're going to get to where the alive and remain. To be alive is the original state without having passed through death. To be in resurrection is to have passed through death and have been raised up. So resurrection, there had to be a death. That's why when we take you to the water, we go to a burial.
Yes.
If you want to be baptized correctly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to die.
Right.
Right. We're going to a burial. We're going to a funeral. Because right. when I put you in the water, Brother Dale, any preacher puts you in the water, death,
yes. right.
burial,
yes.
right. resurrection in the newness of life.
Right.
Old things are passed away. Leave it in the water.
Amen.
Because you'll get the promise of the Holy Ghost if you'll do that.
Right.
You don't have a promise of the Holy Ghost with Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You get a promise in Acts 2:38 that if you'll do that, you'll get the Holy Ghost. Pretty simple. All right, Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones. Musicians, get ready to come. I'll stop right here. And they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. Them. Who's them? The bride. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast. That's us. Neither his image, neither received his mark upon their forehead. Not tattooed on their forehead. What is this part of you? That's your intelligence. You've taken on a wrong doctrine. Are in their hands what? Works. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years was finished. This is the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Amen.
We'll finish the rest this afternoon. Musicians come. Rule and reign 1,000 years. First Thessalonians, don't pull it up. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Come on. Concerning them which are asleep, that you saw or not. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive
Amen.
And remain. Not have to be resurrected. Because it said alive. If you're alive and you haven't died, you can't be resurrected. You were spiritually resurrected by the new birth. Yes, absolutely. But this body's got to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Let's stand to our feet. We'll finish the rest this afternoon. God bless you. Come back for part number two. Go ahead, Brother Joe. If you have a need.
I have a source of strength when I am weak.
Thank you, Lord.
That takes me through when life is pressing.
Think about it today.
And I have a source.
Yes.
Of power from above.
You've been given a power. Jesus said, wait till you're endued with power from on high.
A shield of love. And I claim
in the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. Think about it this morning. That precious blood stains
were shed,
yes, Lord,
just
for me. Think about what he did for you, folks.
For all my sins,
my sickness and my pain. Think about it.
When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains.
Sing it now.
Oh, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary.
With a request, Lord,
precious blood.
Now pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll help us.
We're made,
and you'll heal our body, Lord, and the things, Lord, even things that she didn't even ask for, Lord. Things that may be bothering the Lord in her mind. I pray that you just be with the Lord.
Oh,
give her strength, Lord. May that spiritual runner turn where it needs to go, Lord, even to require that her body be healed. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
I just
Amen. You just believe, okay?
Oh,
you
got to just believe. I dream not know how make it through, who never go to Calvary.
to receive that child back again, Lord. And we bind with them, Lord, knowing that being separated is not a good thing. Lord, whatever it is, we've seen you move mountains to get people back together again. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll grant our sister her request. She's offered it. And I pray that you grant it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You just believe it. So you ask for it. That's all there is. Love the Lord?
Amen.
Well, let's love him a little more. And I adjure you in the name of the Lord Jesus, if you don't have that spiritual rudder today, you will shipwreck. This is not the time to play around. We don't have a long time left. Not trying to scare you, but I'm telling you, these things, we got to get settled now. If you don't have it settled, you need to get it settled right now. Know that you know that you know. Not a hope. Not that my daddy's going to make it, my mama's going to make it, that you're going to make it. Because you know what? I didn't need my mom and dad to tell me that I made it. Right? Because they would have saved me from the beginning. But they can't save you. They can pray for you, they can guide you and lead you. But you got to come to a place that you say, God... What was it, Brother Ram told a story? The man said, God, you're going to find a bag of bones right here if you don't give me the Holy Ghost. He said, boy, that's something God wants you to do. He wants you to say, look, I'm not leaving this place right here until I know that I know that I know that God has saved my soul. And when you come to that spot, not many people will come to that. Remember, you know, who was it? The Brother Brown was telling another story. So Moses said, well, now you got to go out here and get in this pig pen. That guy's like, well, I don't know about that. But you know what? When the inspiration struck that guy, out in the pig pen he went. And you know what? It wasn't the pig pen that saved him. It was the move he made. Amen. It was the move that you make toward God that he'll honor that. It doesn't matter where you go. But he wanted to make sure that guy wanted it bad enough to get in that hog pen. Have you ever wanted it bad enough? If you don't today, you need it. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that as we go and eat a natural meal, that we'll come back together, Lord, and you'll tell us a little more about yourself, Father. We pray that the people that were prayed for, that they'll be healed, and all the things that they've asked for, they'll be delivered, Lord. Even the ones that are standing here in the congregation, Lord, that many of us have needs in our heart, Lord. We have children that are unsaved, and brothers, sisters, wives, whatever you want to say, Lord, it's getting time, Lord, that we, as the Bible says, we press our way. Paul said, I run. He said, I didn't walk this race, I'm running it. We pray, Lord, that we'll pick up the pace and we'll run and run towards you, Lord. Lord, help us all spiritually and also help us physically. Lord, that you'll protect us from this, whatever the world calls new strain of virus or whatever it is, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we have an inoculation, the prophet of God told us, and it's faith. Faith in you, Lord, that you'll take care of us on this road ahead. Father, we need you more than anything. We need to bind together more than anything, and we pray that you'll help us do that, Lord. Take care of us on the highways, the ones that are leaving, Lord. We pray that you'd bless them. Thank you for coming among us in the service today and delivering yourself, Lord. We pray that we'll do the same this afternoon, Father. Just bless the people. Be with each one, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
I need healing. I just claim those precious blood stains.